I thought that was a spirit. Tonight I have to preface the message by telling you that I'm not robbing from Dr. Lawson's message this morning, but he spent the last part of his message preaching my message. And I just wanted to be known, the Lord gave me what I'm about to preach to you 4 weeks ago. Now I've spent 47 years preaching revival meetings. I'm old and tired now. But I've always known when I was going to get called on to preach. And the outlines would come flooding in. I'd tell Linda, well, I'm going to hold a revival meeting. Oh, where? I don't know. When? I don't know. All I know is the messages are coming in. 4 weeks ago, the Lord gave me this message, the God of peace. And I said, I must be going to preach. One of the young preacher boys called me and said, I've got to be called away, and can you come preach for me Sunday morning? I said, that's it. And the Lord said, no, it's not it. And he gave me something else to preach. And then last week, Dr. Lawson called me and asked me to preach, and the Lord said, that's what I want you to preach. So I want you to know, and I want Brother Lawson to know, that what I'm preaching is not a rehash of what you had this morning. But isn't the Lord good to us? To call our attention to something that's important that we need to know. And I've found it every time I ask, Lord, if any of you lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I'll ask the Lord, what does that mean? I'll come to church and the preacher's preaching on it. I'll get in the car, turn on the radio, and listen to a radio preacher, and somebody's preaching on it on the radio, or somebody's singing a song on it, and the Holy Spirit says to me, you getting this? You get that? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And the Bible's true. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and if you hear it coming from more than one direction, generally the Lord's trying to get your attention on something. And tonight I want to preach on the peace of God. The peace of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, very familiar scripture. And verse number 6, Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You mean you must be thankful for the offering that the Lord gives you in answer to your prayer, even as you pray it? No use praying if you don't believe God. Amen. Amen. It's impossible to please him without faith. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, about right here, we're being convinced to turn the television off. Can I get an amen? Yeah. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, Lord, we're grateful for the privilege of preaching. Father, we thank you to be in the midst of those that truly love you. And Lord, now I pray the Spirit of God will go beyond what some man can say and give us food from heaven. Help us, Lord, to consider our relationship to you and its effect on our life in a world filled with turmoil. Do with the messages you do know best. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to think spiritually with me for a few minutes. Just, what is peace? Is it the absence of conflict? The world thinks it is. When hostilities cease, the world considers a battle to be over and peace restored. When I was first saved, at 13, I lived a young part of my youth, not really having a curiosity about deeper spiritual things. But at the age of 22 years old, I'd given the Lord my heart when I was 13, but I was 22 years old before I gave him my life. And I remember in surrendering my life to the Lord, I said to myself, I guess what some young people do, well, I'll be done with troubles and trials now. I'm not going to have any more trouble with the devil. Well, I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm not going to be bothered by him anymore. Wrong. As you soon learn. You see, if it were only for my benefit, I'd been far better off if the moment I got saved, the Lord said, bring him here. And we just go on to heaven and be done with it. But once the Lord saves you and seals you, the Spirit of God imparts within you certain spiritual gifts that allow you to be useful for the Master. And the expectation of God is for you to find true happiness, true joy, true peace in your life. You'll never be content. And a Sunday school teacher told me one Thursday night on visitation, standing in the driveway on my side porch, Brother Sam, I may never see you again. I didn't. He moved to California. But he said, you'll never be truly happy till you run up a white flag and give God everything. And I found that to be so. I've also found it to be so that seems to just infuriate the devil. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it infuriates him. You think you're going to coast along. That's not what it's going to be. The Bible says in Acts 14, verse number 22, and we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that will God live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to go through this thing in a battle. Yeah. And in some persecution. And that's the work of the devil. And he is enlisting not only the hounds of hell, but his corrupting influence has turned the world that we live in now into a madhouse. I don't know any other way to do it. We're living in a mad world. I never thought I'd see the day when unbelievers could find something to be mad at a Christian. All we want them to do is go to heaven. Amen? But somehow or another, the day that we live in, evil has been made good. Good has been made evil. Righteousness has been made horrible. And wickedness has been acceptable. All you've got to do is look at the television, listen on the radio and in the books and print, and in the conversation of your compatriots out in the world every day to come to find out that this is a world that's against God. There are now more programs on television that we don't allow in our house. We can't watch that anymore. I'm not going to clutter my mind with that filth. That trash. But you see, the devil began this clandestinely. He began to bring this stuff into our institutions of higher learning. He corrupted professors so that generation after generation of college graduates are being fed a bunch of hogwash. It's nothing but lies. And then it went into our judicial system. Then it went into education, where they begin telling third and fourth graders about sex education. The whole purpose was not to tell young children about sex. It was to corrupt their minds and have them become acceptable the things that are the stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1, This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Good evening. Traitors, heady, that is headstrong, unruly, high-minded, I am my own God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We live in a world of moral and spiritual bankruptcy. A world in which grown people can't tell the difference between evil and good. Furthermore, they don't care. It's a lawless, savage behavior without laws. And I'll tell you, I'm up to my ears. Listen to politicians talk about we have to protect our democracy. The United States of America is not a democracy. It is a constitutional republic, and the aim of the founders were that we be willing to be ruled by law. Amen. And one of them said, the Constitution was never given for immoral men. It is only for a moral, spiritual man. It's only a document, second only to the Word of God, in which the greatest document I believe ever conceived by man was given to the people. And now we've turned it into such lawlessness that they carry on like this. Who in the world told a bunch of politicians you could let illegal aliens vote? Where did they come up with the idea that that's okay? That's not okay. Or for DAs to decide some low-down, rotten criminal that's already forfeited the right to live to be turned loose without bail to do the same things over and over again. We're living in a mad world. Sexual debauchery out in the open. You need to hear this. And the people that are watching this across the world, they need to hear it. Romans chapter number 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. No wonder they can carve out worship alligators and bears and trees and everything else under the name of high heaven. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Three times God gave them over to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. What mother kills her children in the bathtub? Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. Good evening, America. Unleashing hell on earth. Brother Lawson has been preaching some on the subject of transhumanism. And the Sunday morning that he talked about the golly, I went home and I began to study about the golly. These men dressed up like circus women, drag queens, and not new. That's not new. It's just now out in the open. But they did it in the temple. Yeah. Transhumanism, that's not new. No. Ask Nimrod. Yeah. He's a jaybird that the devil used to get all this started. That's followed man all the way down through the development of mankind even today. You say, well, we've not been bothered with that here. Oh, yes, we have been. Where do you think the Incredible Hulk came from? In a laboratory experiment, he drank the wrong substance and it transformed him into an extraordinary human. The $6 million man operated. Spider-Man, a spider bite turns him in. And every one of these said this transformation into superhuman heroes, they all were changed for the good of mankind. Now, who do you think started that? The devil is the deceiver. To call evil good and good evil. And we let that stuff into our families. Thinking, oh, this is entertainment. It's not entertainment. It's out of the pit of hell. Amen. We ask ourselves, farther along, the old hymn. Now, my brother pastored at Carson Island for 25 years. He recently had to give up his church, but he didn't allow that song to be sung. He would say, no funeral music, no funeral music. But there's truth in that song. We ask ourselves, why do the heathen prosper, though in the wrong? I'll tell you why. It's not over yet. Not over yet, payday someday. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So why all this carrying on and everything? Well, it's because we're fighting an enemy that's overwhelming the entire world. Ephesians 6:12, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For some Baptists, that's good enough. We wrestle not. Huh? But that's not what the scripture says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hello, high places. Be sober, 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I got news for you. The devil doesn't care for any of it. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about any of these people that are being deceived. But he knows God does. And the whole affair is for him to grieve and hurt the heart of God Almighty, who in long suffering is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The devil doesn't love anybody, but the Lord loves everybody, and he knows. The aim of the devil is to sow spread hopelessness and mortal fear so that God's people shut up and so that the world blindly goes on. But I want to tell you tonight, there is hope. I don't know how far down you went when the Lord found me, he had to reach way down. And he had a lot of forgiving to do. And I've heard people tell the story, God could never forgive someone like me. But I'll tell you, God's in the forgiving business. And he's a loving God. I'm going to tell you, this is how much God loved you. Imagine if you'd been the only human on earth. Jesus Christ would have gone to the cross just for you. You mean he would die just for me? I don't only mean he would, he did. Amen. He died just for me as if it didn't anybody ever else that ever lived on the earth. God is love. It's not what he does, it's who he is. God is love. And God does love. And I want to tell you, there's never been a person born that is outside the realm of God's hand of mercy coming down and giving help where it's needed. When you call to God, the hopelessness and the helplessness of God is replaced by divine mercy and love. And I'll tell you, it's in a person. Hope and peace is not in a religion, not in a set of rules and regulations, but it's found in a person. When he first came, he came as the Lamb of God. And he went to the cross as a lamb. His blood was slain, shed. He was crucified for my sinfulness. They put him in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. He was resurrected from the grave 40 days later. He ascended up to the Father to the right hand of the Majesty on high. And now he's the Prince of Peace. That song, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight, rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. Brother Lawson, I start reading songs like that, and I'm overwhelmed that someone was so attuned to the heart of God Almighty that they could put that down on paper. And hundreds of years later, I get up here and sing that, and down within my heart is bursting with gratitude for what he's done for me. The fact is, I don't have to go to hell now. I get to go to heaven, not on my merit. I ought to have went to hell. I deserved hell. But the Lord died on the cross for me. And I called unto him and he saved me. And he washed my sins away in his own blood. He wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. He made me his own child by faith and by adoption. The Spirit of God imparted spiritual gifts. And I've had the honor of my life to try to call his name out to people for 47 years. But when I get to glory, I'll have to apologize for not being any better at it than I am. Thank God for the opportunity that he gives us. Some people never recognize their potential. The Spirit of God imparts spiritual gifts. There are people in church that can spot your gift. Isn't that something? And yet maybe many of you can't tell what God has given you. He gives to every man severally as he will, to profit the body with all, the Bible says. And so for every one of us that are truly blood washed children of God, God has invested in us part of his Spirit in order to help us to be a blessing to the body of Christ as a whole. There may be someone here tonight, you need to pick the pace up. Well, what's my spiritual gift? I don't know. Sometimes I can see and tell. But that's for you to find out between you and the Lord. How do I go about doing that? Well, you got good examples in the Bible. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak. He'll talk to you. Yes, he does. And if all you get of God is what you get in church, you pauper. Have you never got up in the middle of the night and sit in the den and open your Bible and start talking to the Lord, and there come a breeze out of another world, cool in there, and you feel his presence as he begins to speak to you? I'm not throwing those crumbs out in front of people, but I'm telling you right now, you need more than what you get right here. And that can only come in a personal, experiential relationship with the Lord of glory, who is the Prince of Peace. But you know, there can be no peace of God until first you've made peace with God. There can't be any peace of God without peace with God. Listen, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith. Somebody said justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Nope. Know what it means? It means declared, adjudicated, and found forgiven. Amen. Justified. Justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now I want to tell you, there waits for me a glad tomorrow. I know there is. I don't deserve it, but I know there is. Why? Why? Because I have the peace of God in my heart that tells me, let the storms rage. I mean, if a ship capsizes and I sink down, I know where I'm going. Amen? Know where I'm going. But you've got to make peace with God. That is, there has to come a time and a place in your life. I marvel at the people who stand up and say, on January the 12th, 1953, at 8:05 in the evening, at this such and such a place, I prayed this prayer to Christ and he saved me. I can't remember the exact day, 1958 at New Testament Baptist Church at the right-hand altar. But to this day, I can't remember the exact words I prayed, Brother Caldwell. I used to worry about that. Oh, you didn't frame the words right, till I come find out then. All I had to do was be willing to pour my heart out. The Spirit of God does all the talking. And he who searcheth the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He takes my stammering to him. Amen. My father was a Church of God preacher. And when they came to the altar, they had concert prayer. That's what Daddy called it. I've always thought that was wonderful. But as a youngster, before I became a Baptist, I would sit in church with him, and I'd hear all these people preaching. I think, how in the world does God sort all that out? And I asked my dad, how does he do that, Lord? He said, well, he's a big God. He's a big God. It's just like when I pray, there ain't nobody around. Just the Lord and me, that's all. That's all it is. See, most people have a dime store religion because they believe in a dime store God. How big's your God tonight? Is your God big enough that can quiet the storms? Because we live in the storms of life. The peace of God. Listen, Philippians 4:7. Read it again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm about to go crazy. I'm about to blow my top. I've always thought, what would it be like if somebody blew their top? You ever watch people? And then come to weigh that with the love and calming influence of a thrice holy God and to realize what you need is a dose of old time religion. And to get up close to him. and put your hand in his hand and let him lead you. My dad was not a large man physically. He was 5'9", all his life, weighed 157 pounds. He had the largest hands. But when I was a youngster, they were giant hands. And I don't care where we were going, if I could just get my hand in my dad's hands. Recently, I sang a song, Follow Me. And then Follow Me. But now we'll make the journey together with your hand safe in my. The peace of God shall keep your heart and your mind. Philippians 4:9. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, the war doesn't abate just because you're a Christian. But even in trouble, there's peace. Thou, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The reason I think sometimes we lose our joy and peace is because we let our mind wander. Sometimes you let something in the eye gate that you shouldn't. Sometimes you let something in the ear gate that you shouldn't. Sometimes you let something out of the mouth gate that you shouldn't. And it begins to work on your mind and troubles you. But if we keep our hearts and our minds on the Lord, it makes things better. I close with a story. There's a beautiful song in the hymnal called It Is Well With My Soul. That is written as a pure testimony from H.G. Spafford, who was a businessman in New York, and long before the age of airplanes and things like that. And he had been offered a new position in London, England. And so he and Mrs. Spafford prayed about it and decided to accept it. And it came time for them to get on the steamship and go over for the new appointment. When they got to the dock, he received a cable that says, please return to the office immediately. There is an affair that's come up that we need to address. So rather than to cancel, he sent Mrs. Spafford and the children on that boat. He was going to come next. Midway in the passage to England in the North Atlantic, they hit bad water and the ship was lost. They were rescued, Mrs. Spafford, but not the children. He received a cable that said, saved alone. Saved alone. He immediately booked passage as it was, same line, same place. He told his steward, when we get over the spot where the ship went down, no matter what hour it is, will you please knock on my door? 3:00 in the morning, a knock on the door. Mr. Spafford, we believe we're over the exact spot where your family was lost. And Spafford, a wonderful Christian man, got down on the side of his bed and prayed and composed the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, though sorrow like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Tonight, I don't know whether you're lost in the storms or whether you know the melody sweeter than psalm. But I'm asking you tonight, as a recipient of the peace of God, are we handling it carelessly, or has God called us to be the ministers of peace? If you will, in Matthew 5:9, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Make peace. This is Pastor Appreciation Day. And I know you appreciate your pastor. I do. I appreciate my pastor. The Bible nowhere in it says, blessed are the troublemakers, for they shall break the heart of the preacher. But they're around, aren't they? You see, I get to preach and leave. But the pastor has to deal with it. From the very first meeting I ever had, I always made it a practice to pray this prayer. Lord, don't help me say, help me not to say anything that would hurt the ministry of this man of God that's given his life in this church. Help me to be a blessing to him. I never had it to go to church and offend a host pastor, but to do everything I could to help the ministry for it. Listen, the Bible calls on us. If you have the peace of God in your heart, then don't you think God rightly deserves for you to fulfill your role as a peacemaker? Now there it is, you do with it what you will. Father, we pray tonight that you take the message and however you can use it, Lord, to be a blessing to someone. And tonight I pray for your people. Lord, we realize that every one of us are fighting battles. And Father, I pray for them. I pray that you'd have your way in every heart and life. And Lord, there may be somebody that just needs to get along with you for a few minutes at the altar and get something fixed up. Lord, we just pray that you'd have your blessed way in each heart and life. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Lawson.